B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Those two are bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
51575.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
Oh, he got his pocket picked from behind that time. Right in the net. Nordstrom shoots. He scores! Right circle. Johansson fires. He scores! The Bruins force the turnover back in the net. Marcus Johansson, right circle. Stepped it inside the far post. His first goal.
Yes, Bruins! Let's go, Bruins!
Rask, a stop on Matthews, point blank. Rask able to stop the return from Mitch Marner, who's denied. Hyman, the stop on Rask. He drove it at the near post. Rask slid across, made the save. Now clutch to the far circle, fires, he scores! Sean Corrali raced in, angled to the left circle, and snap one by Freddie Anderson. Bruins 3, Maple Leafs 1. Dolan, Krejci, far circle, centers, Coyle, shoots, he scores! The Bruins create the turnover. Bruins 4, Maple Leafs 1. For the second consecutive year, the Boston Bruins are going to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 7. Behind a magnificent performance by Tuukka Rask.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. A wonderful night last night for Tuukka Rask and the bottom six and Bruins fans, and we will talk about that extensively. Ty Anderson in studio in the 7 o'clock hour, Jaffe in studio in the 9 o'clock hour, and checking with Pasta Joe, who's at the Avengers. But one thing quickly before we get into great detail about the Bruins, which will dominate the show today, is that everyone saw the Avengers that wanted to see it here at the radio station yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The last Avengers. And intern Nick said he was mentally exhausted from the experience. That seeing the final Avengers was mentally exhausting.
Are you tired? Were you mentally exhausted afterwards, Rich?
I wasn't mentally tired. I just had to take a pee.
Oh.
No, he was mentally exhausted. He had spent he'd watched 22 films, and seeing it finally end was mentally exhausting for him.
I had to take a pee, and I went to the bathroom halfway through it. That's how long that movie is. So oh. It is a full 3 hours without trailers. So when I went to the screening yesterday, it started I think at 2 o'clock, and I mean when the movie came on the screen, there was no kind of like any intro or anything, no like ad for the theater. It was boom, here's the movie, and when it was over, it was just after 5 o'clock. So I mean that's like if you're gonna go to the theater to see it. That's a 3.5 hour experience. So you just get ready.
The subject matter will exhaust you mentally.
I was not exhausted mentally. I was not.
The fictional world of from 22 movies, seeing it, what I would assume come to a close, It was not, did not affect you? Do you, you're not walking in a daze now?
No. It was excellent, however, and we'll do a full review thing tomorrow. Of course, we have the spoiler-free review with Bird, and the way we do that, because I don't think I can trust him to not say anything, is that Nick records it immediately afterwards, and I have to go beep and edit to make sure he doesn't just, like, yell out some, you know, very important plot point. So, but no, but it was excellent, but mentally exhausted. No,
but I'll tell you this, is that a little disclaimer, if you're going to go, be careful, because you'll be mentally exhausted afterwards. The Marvel comic universe coming to an end will be, it's like being in a 15-round fight. You come out of that thing mentally exhausted.
So much going on, the concentration is necessary.
You
right?
just watch Twitter when Game of Thrones ends, because this is the same thing.
That's true.
And
I'm not going to lie.
And watch Twitter, the guy sitting next to me yep. with the glasses.
Yep.
So you think Nick's like an outlier saying he's mentally exhausted.
In about 3 weeks.
Just get ready. Yep. It's going to be like, oh, I don't know how I can live. Yep.
It is. I've invested a lot of time in this.
How many times are you going to see? It's like the death of a friend.
Yeah.
You're going to get that.
70 hours of television watching.
Yeah. I mean, yep. and that's what yep. that's what this movie is. It's the end of like what you've been
it's
seeing
the end of
for
your
the last
life.
22
I
things.
Mean, it's the well, end I mean, of but, your
but,
life.
It's a big hole that needs filling.
It's mentally exhausting.
I think it's ridiculous, but I'm saying that Nick is not going to be an outlier when it comes to, because
yeah, it's
going to
be a million losers that sit around and say that it was mentally exhausting. So, like, yes, every loser is going to get on the internet and they're going to talk about how it was mentally exhausting.
In 3 weeks, I'll be a Game of Thrones loser saying a lot of the same things.
Yeah. Well, you're a loser.
And so that I can live with that.
It all makes sense.
I've had a lot of fun over this last six seasons, seven
well,
seasons,
listen,
eight seasons.
You had
seasons.
A lot of fun, if that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who is more fun than you? Sitting around a TV, watching mm-hmm. the show?
Correct.
I mean, you can cry at the end of the Wonder Years, but I did not find it mentally exhausting. So just know, if you're a fan of Iron Man
mm-hmm.
and the Arrow guy, that it's going to be mentally exhausting at the end. You're going to feel hachi-machi that you've just lost a good friend. It's very sad and exhausting. Mentally. Understand? Don't go in there thinking that you're going to walk out. You might get a little PTSD after watching it. Oh, no. Hey, where did the Scarlett Johansson go?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sitting there thinking to yourself, I'm mentally exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing has got me going crazy.
Speaking of exhausted, I have to find out how Pasta Joe's doing. Because he's been live tweeting throughout his movie marathon.
Is he slept? How are the tweets the same as how he speaks?
Pretty much. Yeah, yeah. It's like three movies down. It's like ate some nachos. And it's like pictures of him like, well, movie's pretty good.
Didn't he eat some like incredible amount of popcorn?
Yeah. And he said that like his stomach hurt because he ate it so fast.
Popcorn?
You gotta pace yourself. Oh, yeah. If you eat too much popcorn too fast, your stomach's going to get jacked.
And plus add into the mental exhaustion. So Bird, did you talk to Pasta Joe this morning? So Bird saw Pasta Joe, and Pasta Joe is not quite 24 hours into his experience.
No. It started at 11:30.
Yeah, no, I said he's not quite 24 hours into his experience.
Yeah, not yet, but he has been sticking with it. I don't know what his sleep schedule has been. Bird interviewed him. I have not heard the tape yet. We'll play that right around, like, you know, near the end of the 8 o'clock hour. We will get to that. Now, how did you feel when New Girl ended? Because I do remember you being very upset.
I was mentally exhausted.
You were very upset, though. You said that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was mentally exhausted.
Yes.
At the end of it. I came in the next day and I was woozy. I couldn't believe it, that it was over. I'll never see it again. I'll never see a new one again.
Just get ready. It's going to be just over the next several weeks between the Avengers and Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be people saying it felt like they lost a family member.
Yeah. So this is sci-fi people. Not the greatest.
It's going to be Game of Thrones isn't going to be just sci-fi people. There's people who watch Game of Thrones who love Game of Thrones. I never thought would ever watch that show. Like, I mean, random people who are like very nice, you know, normal human beings mm-hmm. who would never go see Lord of the Rings or would never read The Hobbit or, you know, watch a movie with an orc in it. And now
posers. All those, huge know, posers.
That's what I call them. If you've never rolled the bones before, you have no right to watch that.
No. I mean, how dare you watch something with dragons?
Do you have to have listened to Rush to watch Dragons, or is that like you can skip that?
I think that, okay, so the AV Club, the website, mm-hmm. Reviews Game of Thrones, and they have one for the experts who have read the books and one for newbies.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I think that you have a greater appreciation if you listen to Rush. Is
okay.
my understanding.
Fair enough.
Because they're different. They have different ratings. Like
right.
the first episode got a like an A minus from newbies,
mm-hmm.
and then like a B.
Oh, really?
For, like the experts.
Well, that I guess I'm part of the first category because I like the first episode.
Well, the second episode got A's from both.
Oh, okay.
They both enjoyed it a great deal. Not been mentally exhausted though. So it's going to be like you lost a friend when that ends?
I've dedicated a significant portion of time to watching all the episodes.
You've had like a year and a half off from it, and you managed
That's true.
Plus, you got your socks.
That's true. Well, not recently.
Plus, you got your celts. You might call
yep.
a game.
It's,
I mean, look
it's
up.
It's possible. That's true. No, it's a good point. I had 18 months off to get over my exhaustion and gear myself up for these final six episodes, only four of which are left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was funny that the movie's coming to an end had a mental effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think every last episode of television is weird because it encapsulates so much of your life that you had watched it. But I never have left there being woozy and needing a lot of sleep because it was exhausting. But nonetheless, Rich... A relatively pain-free game seven.
Oh, I don't know about that. That second period sucked. That was not fun to watch.
Well, like, I would agree.
That was
stressful. Until Corrales' goal, it was
yeah.
not a fun experience.
No, matter of fact, right. I would think it was until the beginning of the third period. It was not an enjoyable
Well, Rask was
experience.
On. So
yes.
that to me seemed like it was okay.
But I kept thinking the bridge was going to break. Like, I was
well,
like, it's been so
Toronto
good.
Had the puck way too much for
I know.
Way too long.
Well, in the first period, I mean, the Bruins didn't have a shot on goal. They had two shots in goal for, like, in 9 minutes.
Yeah. So Toronto carried play for long periods of time, and they looked a lot faster. And I go, oh, man. And
I was confident pretty much throughout.
Not until Corrali scored. Then I relaxed.
Well, when they got up 2-0... And Matthews scored, I was said, okay. But I still was... Rask looked good enough that I was not overly concerned.
But the problem was, because there are so many skilled scorers for Toronto, and you saw Marner like weave through like
well,
a sports
car. I also saw Rask save three Marner shots in
no,
a row.
No, he did. On that play, but you see just a quick turnover, and all of a sudden, Tavares is by himself, and bam, the puck's in the net. I mean, Toronto was capable of that at any time.
And the
so
amount
that's
of turnovers,
unable to relax.
The Bruins' turnovers were all. I don't think that Pastrnak for the last couple of games, he had a hard time keeping the puck on a stick. Like yeah. it's been really tough to watch. But it wasn't. You're right. It wasn't until Corrali scored that I was like, okay, maybe I can actually start to breathe again. But that second period sucked. Game sevens are not fun. They're not fun to watch.
I didn't have a huge problem with it. I thought that they'd be okay. When you have a hot goaltender, it makes things a lot easier. All right. We will discuss all of that coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Jobs.com.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Compared to previous game sevens, a relatively. Comparatively, a relatively non
crapping yourself game seven yesterday, but you two seem to disagree. But
no, relatively speaking, you're right. This was more comfortable than 6 years ago and last year, but still wasn't very comfortable.
No, not until Corrali.
Right.
But the Bruins bottom six win game seven.
Now Corrali right circle, walks in, shoots, blocked.
Oh, he got his pocket picked from behind that time.
Right of the net, Nordstrom shoots, he scores!
It was the game where the big names stayed mostly off the stat sheet, and it was the lunch pail guys that took up the slack. 5-1, the final scores. The Bruins beat the Leafs in Game 7 again and gave us yet another awesome look at a miserable collection of human beings in blue and white standing in Leaf Square. You know what?
It's my favorite part of the whole thing.
I'm pissed at Nesson because I watched it on Nesson last night, and Nesson only showed Leaf Square when the Leafs scored. And I'm like, if you are a network that is catering to Bruins fans, we don't want to see it when they score. We want to see it when the Bruins score. And I had to like go online and see the ones that NBC Sports Boston was showing, or NBC Sports was showing, that made it worth it. Because you search for that. You want to see that. It's good for the soul. And maybe it was the Jumbotron shot of Julian Edelman shotgunning a beer that inspired the back-to-back goals in the first from both Nordstrom and Johansson.
Right circle, Johansson fires. He scores! Snapped it inside the far post. His first goal of the playoffs. 2-0 Bruins.
Am I the only one who gets Nordstrom and Johansson mixed up? For some reason, I get the two of them mixed up.
No, I mean, that's...
I'm probably the only one, but...
Well,
I thought when Nordstrom scored that he had scored two goals, but it turned out that it was Johansson. Well, two household names.
I prefer to believe that it was not Julian Edelman trying to out Gronk that did that, but the presence of Justin Bieber in a Leaf sweater at the Garden, which truly doomed them.
With his girl rubbing his back. I watched it on NBC. But the his wife, they showed him in the booth, and she's rubbing his back, and I'm thinking, there's nothing I would like less than that.
It's just weird. It's like, ugh.
Like, just sitting there, like, watching a game while my wife rubbed my back.
Isn't there a curse? A Justin Bieber curse? I remember for a while.
I thought
it was
that
very
was an
real.
NBA thing.
Yeah. Because he would show up, you know, with the Miami Heat outfit, and they would lose. And then he would all of a sudden be a Toronto Raptors fan, and then they would lose.
Yeah.
He was just basically whatever town he was in.
Yeah. It was basically, once you turn of age, your life crumbles into hell. Is the Justin Bieber curse.
Well, maybe it was the fact that playoff Mary Sean Corrali arrived last night.
Achari nudges it to Corrali. He'll carry it himself over the line, high slot to the far circle. Fires! He scores! This guy just has a nose for the big games. Sean Corrali raced in.
Yep, Corrali makes it 3-1.
Which makes every analyst seem like a genius because everyone was saying that Corrali was going to be huge and his coming back into this series was going to be great. And that's his third game since March, I believe. And they were right. I mean, that fourth line played excellent yesterday. Obviously, it goes without saying, and so I'll say it anyway, that the bottom six were the key to the game other than Rask. And so congratulations to people that cover the Bruins because they all talked about the importance of Corrali.
Well, let's get it to Tuukka Rask, as you were mentioning, because especially in the second period, Rask was getting pelted. And we've been asking whether or not he would indeed steal the Bruins a win. Well, last night he stole the Bruins a series.
Marner over the line near side. Goes rink wide. Centered out in front. Hyman to the step on Rask. He drove it at the near post. Rask slid across, made the save.
Yep. I mean, he was absolutely, I mean, that, how much was he outshot by in the second period? It was like 15-8 or something, but there was one period of like 3 minutes where I just kept getting killed and killed and killed and made one great save after the next. And according to all reports, it was very loud after the game in the locker room. Very excited team. Here is Bruce Cassidy speaking about Tuukka afterwards.
The time I've known him, he's been a very competitive man, excellent goaltender. We saw it tonight. And hopefully he can start or continue to build on his playoff legacy. It's a big game seven win. And like I said, I believe he's our best player. And in the second period, we broke down. We had a tough time moving the puck out of our zone. He was there for us. Now, we end up scoring some goals for him, right? So that's how our team's done it all year. We play for one another. We tend to pick each other up. So he picked us up in the second when we were down. We got him a couple goals in the first, so he could relax probably a little bit.
Well, speaking of picking up the team, on top of that, Bruce Cassidy even noticed the crowd and how crazy they were going, and especially what was going on in the Jumbotron.
Every night here. Same in Toronto, I got to say. A couple of loud buildings, original six franchises, hungry, great fan support. Julian Edelman chugging a beer was awesome. Probably got everyone fired up, including us. Good for him. We'll return the favor at some point down the road. But I thought it was outstanding. But that's Game 7 playoff hockey for you right there.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how many sit-ups he's going to have to do today to make up for the beer he chugged.
He's just going to go skateboarding. He's going to hop on the old board.
You know what? I think you're right. He's going to take one of those like cruiser boards where you can't do tricks on them.
I think I might have seen a semi-happy Brad Stevens last night, too.
Yeah, he was in a box.
Like the robot almost cracked a smile yesterday.
He goes, I have 5 weeks off. I might as well enjoy the game.
It is true. He gets to kind of sit there and relax. Oh, by the way, this is a random thing, but they reported that Marcus Smart running yesterday.
Yes.
Not bad.
On a treadmill. Yes.
All without a shirt.
Right.
Jacked. Why would you put a shirt on if you looked like that? No. And then there was playoff Sean Corrali, who obviously knew he was going to be the man last night.
Yeah, Noel made a good play, come out of the zone, and then got a little room in the neutral zone, and I just found myself in the slot all of a sudden and just put it on net, really, and they don't usually go in for me, but that was a good one and a big one, and I think you can see by the way I reacted how I felt about that goal. So if you want to know, just you can watch it again, I think.
Well, then there's the Bruins who played so well last night that sometimes even the broadcasters get a little excited. And yesterday, if you were watching NBC Sports, looks like Mike Milbury might have pulled a little bit of a Phil Esposito.
Icing is called. Not a popular call. But it gives the... gives the Bruins a chance to
come live, Mike.
Okay, do you know how tough it is to fluster Doc Emrick? Doc Emrick is the consummate professional. Dude doesn't miss a beat. And when Milbury said, F me, I mean, even Doc Emrick's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. But what does Milbury care? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, he probably hit Emrick with his shoe.
You follow Puck Daddy on Twitter like I do. I was following it's Wyshynski, and he was like Milbury, like bathing himself in black and gold. My God,
yeah. And when it comes down to it, I mean, you know. You spend a lot of time with the franchise. You don't have to buy drinks when you're in town. So, there you go.
I mean, it's so great because you said for the first time you heard Phil Esposito do a lightning game. Like, you heard him swear, right?
Well, 5 minutes. I listened to it for 5 minutes and he swore. And the only reason...
that are melting, they say that... that is so full of that the glaciers are melting, Phil. You fucking ass.
Get Milbury on the phone.
I would have listened to it for a minute, but he immediately swore, and then I sat around waiting for anything to happen, and nothing happened. What are you going to do to the guy?
How are you Mike Milbury and do that on television? Like, you know you're on TV. It's the middle of a play.
Because
you have a headset on.
Because you just have wrapped yourself in the game at that point, and... You know, he didn't say it, like, overly loud. Maybe he thought he could say it without it getting picked up.
He flustered Doc Emrick.
Icing is called. Not a popular call. But it gives the Bruins a chance to...
Oh, man. That was just fantastic. I didn't see that till this morning. I was watching it on Nesson.
I was at a bar for the first two periods. I don't recall hearing that either.
I'm not going to lie. Jack Henry was pretty good last night. I mean, the Swedish assault at the beginning was pretty funny. And then there was, he had one yesterday. You know he wrote down, but it doesn't mean that it wasn't good.
Krejci takes it away. Krejci to Kyle.
You got me. I'm sorry. When he said that, I laughed.
Absolutely lost it.
I laughed. Ew. I mean, Boo. I laughed. I thought it was so cheesy, but I'm like, you know what? I'm okay with it. Yesterday, I was okay with it.
It was great.
It was typically Jack. It was preceded by an orgasmic. Ah!
And then he had to get his notes.
Takes it away. Krejci to Coyle.
He's not cheering because the team won. He's cheering because he got to read his stupid line.
It was good.
He's screaming. He's literally screaming in the microphone.
Wow.
Killjoy, it was fantastic.
Yeah, he's the greatest.
He is.
I'm sorry.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best. And you think that too. All right, so Rich, what's coming
up? All right, when we get back, we have in two different worlds, two different schedules, but we now know at least a little bit of when the Bruins are going to be playing.
And it's good for the station. So, all right, so we will be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
We want the cup, the chant from the fans. Bergeron toward an empty net. Marchand can't tip it in. Here comes Jim Martin's announcement.
1 minute for the
Boston Bruins had to weather an incredible series of injuries. 35 seconds to go. Six skating against five. Marner's shot. Rask another save. And Bergeron the clear. But the Bruins found other ways to win. Despite the loss of leadership and massive talent, they went on the second best point streak in club history. A 19-game streak that propelled them past the Toronto Maple Leafs and gave them home advantage in the first round of the playoffs. And Bergeron punctuates it with a 5-1 victory. The Bruins make the Stanley Cup road go over the spoked B at TD Garden. They will have home ice as far as they advance.
.985 the Sports Hub. We have a contest only for the, not for the faint of heart. Be listening at 6:50 this morning for your chance to score a 4-pack of vouchers to see Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films, and as Nick Jamelli put it, mentally exhausting. Courtesy of Fandango. That's coming up at 6:50. And I listened to the station as I was walking. To a bar that disappointingly did not have vocal Bruins fans, so I left earlier than I thought. But Cassidy said it was a very rare situation in the playoffs because they actually got healthier as the series went on because they got Corrali back, they got Johansson back, and who else am I thinking of that they got? There's a third person that they got back.
Moore,
yes, thank you. And I thought that was a great point by him that, you know, generally you're losing players.
True.
For the station, it's great that the next game's on Thursday.
Well, so
I wish they had a couple.
So we've got a little bit of an idea of, we know when the first two games are going to be, but after that, it's all dependent on the Carolina-Washington series. So right now, it's definitely going to be game one this Thursday at TD Garden at 7 p.m. As a matter of fact, you heard Jack Edwards say it there. For the rest of the playoffs, the Bruins have home ice. So as long as they go, as far as they go, they're going to be able to hold the home ice advantage. So Thursday is going to be the first game at 7 p.m. The second one is going to be Saturday. Now, that's TBD. Nobody knows what time that's going to be as of yet. And here's where it gets weird. If Washington advances and ends up winning that series, It's going to go Monday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. However, if Carolina advances, it's going to be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Wednesday. Now, I don't really know which one know which one I want the most. All I want is it to be opposite of whatever the Celtics schedule is. I hate having them both on the same night. That sucks. And we still don't know what that's going to be, and we probably won't find out for at least another day, wouldn't you say?
Correct.
Well, yeah, you get at least like a day. At least you get a five-day period of rest between Celtic games. So there's a long window for the Bruins to play.
Five-day rest? I mean, I think it's a week rest. They got to
win. No, but in between game one and two.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get a nice five days.
They probably will.
To relax.
So right now, you just got to sit there and watch and figure out whether or not it's going to be Washington or Carolina, and that affects everything. But as of right now, the two definites are...
Or Carolina.
You're rooting like hell for Carolina in this one. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So there you go. You got Thursday night, 7 p.m. right here. How about that? Just continues the every other day. I love it. You don't have to wait for round two, which I know everyone's excited about.
Wish they had a couple days.
Why?
They're hot right now.
Everybody's healthy. I mean,
It's just...
Keep the good times rolling.
Listen, buddy. If anyone likes a good time, it's me. But I don't know. I just think it's a lot.
Columbus is sitting there getting cold. Torts.
No,
is,
no, no. You know, I like that Columbus is been off this long. I do like that. But it just seems like you have a day to prepare.
No, this is perfect in so many levels. You don't have to wait for hockey. The Bruins,
you're
playing every
yourself,
other day.
Though.
But at the same, I can only speak for myself.
Okay, well, I can only say this. Did you see the Avengers yesterday?
No, I'm not mentally exhausted.
Because it might be too much for you.
I understand.
Do you understand I'm hanging on to this for the rest of my life?
Is that right?
I'm hanging on to that for the rest of my life.
Okay, fair enough. And not only that, we get Coach Torts in round two.
I love it.
It's fantastic on so many levels.
Tortorella's the best. I can't wait. As a matter of fact, this is going to be a pretty damn fun match.
We need Haggerty to go in and lob a couple of grenades in his direction.
He seems like a little more laid back now, you know?
No.
Like, he's kind of funnier.
Well, compared to the Vegas-San Jose series where those coaches were just yelling at each other the entire series.
All right. And then the way the game ended last night.
Well, come on. I knew it 10 seconds ago.
What?
Gallant.
Gerard Gallant.
Apparently, Gallant was screaming at San Jose players throughout the series. He was just yelling and screaming at them.
So if you didn't watch that game last night, I mean, I don't blame you. It ended super late. I think it ended around like 12:45
in the
morning. Did you
guys watch it?
No, I woke up and I saw what happened and I watched the highlights.
That was one where you find out what happened. You're like, I need to watch this and catch up.
No, right. If you thought that the ending of that game in 2013, Bruins-Leafs, was nutty, this one gave it a run for its money. So with less than 11 minutes left in the third period, the Sharks trailed by three. This is game seven.
It's 3-0.
Everything on the line.
They had been shut down. They had no chance.
And here's how it went.
Couture. Shot. Star. Power play goal for Logan Couture. Making the score. 3-1 Vegas.
Behind the back pass to Erik Karlsson. He stops it. He shoots it. Deep score.
That's Tomas Hertl. Tipping the shot by Erik Karlsson. Another power play goal in the third. And it's 3-2. The Sharks trail by one in game seven.
Behind the back pass to Burns. Cross ice play. Here's Couture. Winds up, shoots. He scores!
An incredible comeback for Sharks hockey. And Logan Couture is mobbed by his teammates.
Behind the net, Meyer gets up. He moves into the circle. LeBanc tees up, shoots. Score!
Kevin LeBanc has just put the Sharks in front in game seven with 6:39 to play with a brilliant shot from the right wing side. This crowd is going crazy.
And then this guy went back to making toys for Santa.
By the way, good for Hurdle. I mean, he's guaranteed a win.
That guy just wanted
the better team.
He did, and that guy just wanted to be a dentist the whole time.
I liked the way that he talked.
And by the way, that was four power play goals in a team record 4 minute and 1 second span to take the lead. And then, of course, what happens after that is the Golden Knights end up tying it with, what was it, a minute and a half left? Less than a minute to go, they end up tying it, and then it goes to overtime, and San Jose ends up winning it.
All right, but you missed the major point. Why San Jose was able to score four power play goals? Because of a penalty call
on Cody Eakin. It was on a face-off just to the left of Marc-Andre Fleury. Face-off draw. Joe Pavelski, the captain of San Jose, wins the face-off. Eakin loses it, picks up his hands, and with his stick pushes Pavelski out of the way to go after the puck. The problem is Pavelski loses an edge, falls over backwards, and lands on his head. No penalty called when the play happened. But Pavelski's lying on the ice, blood, he's bleeding all over the place. The referees get together and retroactively call a five-minute major in a game misconduct. So that gives San Jose a five-minute major to score as many goals as they can, and they score four goals on that five-minute power play.
I don't care if you call a five-minute major on your goalie, and you have to play with an open net for that amount of time. You can't give up that many goals.
I understand, but you're up 3-0. You're thoroughly dominating the other team.
Okay, we got a break, but do we have audio of Gallant after the game? Because I would imagine it's fun. All right, so we'll be right back. We got tickets to see the emotionally ravaging Avengers film in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich, car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of vouchers to see the Avengers Endgame, Marvel Studios' grand conclusion to 22 films. Emotionally exhausting, courtesy of Fandango.
You know, I was thinking about that San Jose game and how it ended, and kind of want to check on Dave Gosher this morning. That's got to be a crappy game to be on the other side of the booth from.
Yeah, he tweeted out he was not happy. After the game. You very rarely see Dave get angry. He was clearly angry.
For some reason, they make more money, like if it keeps going, because I've talked to Gosher about that before.
Well, I mean,
because I know the guys from, I know like the guys that cover hockey from Nesson get paid more. Like Jaffe, he's going to be in at 9, and good for him because he gets some more pay.
I think he does satellite because Nesson here, he does local television out in Vegas, but after round one, it goes completely to national. So I think he ends up doing the radio call on like satellite.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
which is more money.
Yeah, not much.
Well,
but I mean, yeah.
It's an extra paycheck, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because Gosher was on the radio. I apologize. When Gosher was here, like, it behooved him that they moved on financially. So maybe not in TV. I apologize.
Yeah, so here is, you said you wanted to hear, well, first of all, the game-winning goal. Let's hear Hermie the Elf Dentist here.
Moves across the line, lead. Barkley Goodrow gets around the defense, shoots. He scores! Barkley Goodrow is the hero for the Sharks in overtime in Game 7. The Sharks were down by 3 goals. They came back, they took the lead, and then after Vegas tied it, Barkley Goodrow is the big man on campus.
What? I just want to say, the guy who's been doing the Sharks games has been doing them forever. I think the guy's name is Rusinowski. He's called like 2,000 Sharks
games.
He's
one of those guys that just shows up. He doesn't even have a contract.
Yeah, he's kind of like Pittsburgh. Lang in Pittsburgh. He's been there forever. Yeah,
it's like that he's a big man on campus. He's quoting Snoopy cartoons from the 50s.
So here's your guy. This is this Gallant?
This is Gallant, but I don't think it's after the game. This is Gallant probably talking about the San Jose coach, because they were really getting into it in between Game 6 and 7.
I really don't want to talk about that, but I think I'm going to have to a little bit, because, you know, for that clown to say that in the paper yesterday, it's not right. There might have been two incidents that happened, and I'll tell you both of the incidents. Logan Couture, I thought it was an embellishment, so I'm yelling at the referee. I'm not yelling at Logan Couture. The other one, Game 2, Evander Kane's yelling at Ryan Reed between the bench. And Evander yells at me, he said, "Hey, coach, when are you going to send your big guy out in the ice and play him more than 4 minutes? And I said, "He's played 10 minutes every game, and he's going to play a lot more." So them are the two times. If I'm going to be a chirper and a loudmouth, I think people know me as a coach and respect me as a coach. And if he's going to yap about that, that's a little unclassy for me.
Once again, okay, not Canadian at all.
So what's going on between the two of them is that the coach of San Jose was saying Gallant was a piece of crap because he was chirping at his players, and then Gallant said, and that was Gallant's response to that, which is he had only done it twice. So that would have been a fun one if you had a piece of it.
You know who was kind of quiet this series was Mike Babcock. You didn't hear a lot of the complaining that you got last year, like when he was discussing the face-offs with Patrice Bergeron. Right. And ultimately, it either got in Bergeron's head or it was a situation where the refs were just unfairly calling. Because once again, I can't tell you when they kick those guys out of the face-off circle, I can't tell what's going on. It happens so fast, I don't know if they're doing it right or wrong, so I don't know if it's just or unjust. But after he made that statement during the playoffs last year, Patrice ended up being pretty bad at the face-off circle, which is, of course, a rarity. But he kind of kept his mouth shut this time around. I wish there was a little more trash.
Back to his more dominant self.
Well, when Felger and Maz yesterday were broadcasting from the Garden, they had a guy on from Toronto that covers the team. And, you know, they asked him if Babcock's going to be fired, which I would say not unless Toronto wants to just lose, you know, $55 billion that they owe him. But he said that since this series went to seven, and you saw the maturation of Marner and Matthews, that there's hope in Toronto. But what I would say to that is, I would say, what are you going to do about your defense? I mean, you're going to have to make a lot of moves, but I know how much money you have to work with. Go ahead.
I just want to remind you, because you brought up Babcock's contract, he's 3 years into an 8-year, $50 million deal.
Yeah, I don't
think he's not going anywhere.
That would have been my response. I was surprised that the guy from Toronto didn't just say, are you kidding me? They owe him such a tremendous amount of money.
$7 million a season,
yeah,
or whatever it is.
Right. They owe him such a tremendous amount of money that there's no way he's going anywhere.
Mike Babcock, the second head coach in Leafs history to lose three consecutive opening round series.
And there's some ridiculous thing, like, out of so many games that Babcock's teams are like 400th and 460th shorthanded. Mm-hmm. Like, his teams are like one away from being the worst all time in playoff series with special teams being shorthanded. I learned a lot during that interview with Felger and Maz.
Yes.
The man from Toronto.
Auston Matthews not on the ice a ton last night. That's the other thing.
I was wondering 18 where he minutes was in the third period. Well, 18 minutes isn't bad.
It's not when he's like one of your best offensive weapons. Well, I mean,
18 minutes for a forward is good.
No, I was just saying, Krejci led the Bruins in ice time last night. I think he had 21. 18 minutes is right around Bergeron level.
Yeah, 18 minutes is fine. But
he disappeared in the third period.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you saw what Tavares can do. I think Tavares was the most.
The Islanders are still in it, too.
That's a good point. That's a very good
the
point.
You're still playing.
Well, sweep, too. Swept Pittsburgh.
Well, that's the thing, is that short of the Capitals, if Carolina wins that series, you got to win the cup.
There's no excuse.
No, you have to win
all the
cup.
Monsters are gone. Yeah. Seriously.
I watched the way the Blue Jackets are playing. They're going to be tough,
well, their goaltending.
Of course.
Scary.
You have a Vezina Trophy winner in net. Of course. But having said all of that, I mean, Calgary's out. They were the only Western Conference team that had a better record than you. You know, Tampa Bay is out. That was the real monster you were worried about in round two.
I think Calgary is tied with the Bruins, by the way, for the record.
107, whatever the case may be, yeah. Calgary was right on the Bruins level. And the real demon waiting for you in the Eastern Conference other than Tampa Bay is Washington. And if Carolina can knock Washington out tonight, there really is. I mean, this is as clear a path as you're going to get.
Yeah. I mean, Columbus is a heavy team with great goaltending, so that's not going to be by any means easy. But if you look at what's remaining, and if you on paper, I mean, they should win the cup. If Washington loses, because I don't like them against Washington at all.
Not if they had 18 tries at them.
No, home ice or not, I don't like them against Washington.
No, it's the way the Leafs are jinxed against the Bruins. Bruins are jinxed against Washington.
I mean, Washington's a great team. I don't care what they did in the regular season or how they're playing now. I mean, Washington's an excellent team. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the near post, Rask slid across, made the save.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.